All right. Matthew's Gospel 28. Glory to God. Matthew goes to 29. Matthew goes to 28. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, this is what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, as a Christian leader, this is your mandate. You know, I see some of us sometimes, we're complaining. Pastor, my members are not, our members are not studying. They are not doing this. No. They are not meant to. You are meant to make them do it. You are meant to make it. You don't look for disciples. You make disciples. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You don't look for it. You make. You make disciples. You don't say, well, you know, and that's what some people do. They go get people that are raised elsewhere. Who are firebrand. Your pastors are here. Remember the first times I told them, oh, yeah, let's go for evangelism. They know the reports they brought back. Amen. I should not do a full disclosure. I shouldn't. So one of the days when, which of you was saying, some people, I said, is that not how you were before? Say, don't forget. Right? So the patience we had for you, you have for others. Praise the Lord. You make it. Not that you'll be looking on the internet for people who are ready made. Then you go and buy Taiwan. Or black market. You make it. Make disciples. That's what he said. Make disciples. You train disciples. You train men. You don't look for disciples. Did you hear what I'm saying? You make disciples. You make them. And that takes us to the Old Testament, which is a very important reference. In Exodus 18, when Aaron, and I said Moses, pardon me, and Jethro, and Moses is teaching every day, morning till night. Exodus 18:13, morning till night. Then Jethro came to him. What is this thing that you are doing to the people? Look at what he said. This is more interesting. I thought he would say, what are you doing to yourself? What are you doing to these people? What are you doing to these people? Hallelujah. When there was a lockdown last year, and then someone asked me, he said, Pastor Chris, what's your plan? I said, nothing. He said, you mean you will not be running on us? I said, no, I said, I'm not under pressure to do that. I'm not jittery. I said, we have hands. This is an opportunity for us to train people. If we have been teaching them the word of God, and they've been going out for evangelism, raising men, this is the time for them to hold services and teach people. So, that period, I was the only one that was not holding services. I wasn't going to get on the air and say, amen, praise the Lord, morning, afternoon, evening. No. Hallelujah. I wasn't going to do that. That was the time to make disciples. To train people. And I took time then, went to some places, saw what they're doing, just to raise disciples. So what are you doing to these people? Morning till night. Abba. Abba. So you alone? Only you. And I thought you said, what are you doing to yourself? Mm-mm. He said, to these people. And notice, watch this now. Moses said, well, the people came to hear God and all that. He says, no. He said, why sit thou thyself alone? So I say alone. Okay. And all the people stand by thee morning to evening. And Moses said, because they want to hear from God, you know, I want to teach them insight into the word. He says, they have a matter. Then look at what he says in 17. The thing that you do is not good. Hallelujah. It's not good. He didn't say he's teaching them is not good. What is he saying? You don't have any other person. You are standing alone. No, he said it's not good. Which means Moses, you are not raising people like him. I told you the last cell leaders training. Your job is straightforward. You want to multiply you. Don't look for you. Don't look for Shego Anoyika. Another Shego Anoyika. Make another Shego Anoyika. Don't look for another Ayoshati. Make another Ayoshati. Don't look for people who are like you. Mm-mm. Your job is to train people just like you. That's your job. That's your job. Hallelujah. Are you still there? That's your job. Now, notice, it says you will surely wear away. But you and these people that are with you. For this thing that you do is too heavy for you. That are not able to perform it thyself alone. When your vision is global, you understand what he's saying. You understand what he's saying. Remember Brother Higgins said? Said he asked the Lord, he said, how am I going to get his message out? He said he's going to train people. You train people who get the message out. That's what Jethro is telling Moses. Now watch this. He says to him, I'll give thee counsel. So I'll say counsel. You don't see something I told you in the services? Watch this. Look up everybody. This is how God instructed Moses. Moses. A man who had face to face encounter. Yet something this important, he used someone who traveled down to tell him. And this is the model of discipleship that all others after him have been using. God's method is man. Notice again. He says, I'll give you counsel. Be thou for people toward God, and thou may bring the causes unto God. Watch this. Thou shalt teach them ordinances. Now pay attention to what he says here. Thou shalt teach them. Now the word here is a little bit different from the usual Hebrew words for teach. It's the word zahar. It means to be light. To be a light. It carries with it three things. To educate, to warn, and then to show the way to do it. To be an example. To educate, to warn, to show the way to do it. That's why you're going to see that same word, 2 Kings 6:10, as warning, to warn. 2 Kings 6:10. 2 Chronicles 19 verse 10, to warn. Admonitions. Psalm 19 verse 11. Ecclesiastes 4:13 and Ecclesiastes 12:12. I'll take it again. 2 Kings 6:10. 2 Chronicles 19:10. Psalm 19 verse 11. Ecclesiastes 4:13, Ecclesiastes 12:12. Daniel 12:3 says to shine us like the other text. It means you'll be an example. So in raising leaders, you will show them, which means when you are teaching, you are not just giving information, you are also teaching people how to teach. When you are leading, you are not just leading, you are also teaching them how to lead. Are you following this? So you will teach them, Zaha, to shine light. Watch this. So you will teach everybody generally. So that means your teaching ministry should not just be informative. It should be transformative. That's what he's telling him. You should give them information so that they can be raised. That is what Jethro is telling him. He is Zaha. He says, look at it. And thou shalt show them the way wherein they must walk. Look at it. You will show them the way wherein they must walk. You will show them. Hallelujah. You see it? You will show them. Don't just tell them. Don't just give information. Show them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Show them. You lay hands on the sick. Then blind eyes are open. Show them. You get people filled with the Holy Ghost. And you have one person per second. Show them. You pray. Show them. Evangelism. Show them. Show them. This is how to do it. Show them the way they must walk. And the work that they must do. Is that training? Is that training? That's what he told him. That's what he told him. Now, when that has happened, he now says, moreover, afterwards, thou shalt provide out of all the people. That means, when you are now in the process of training, you will now chazak in the Hebrew. You will now look at those who have gotten a hold of what you are doing. But the first thing is that you teach and train. So do not put people in leadership. I say it many times. You don't start a church and look for pastors. That is a commercial center. You raise men to start churches. That's what you do. He said, then you will now provide out of the people. Chazak. I'm going to ask you, who are you training in your church, in your fellowship? Who are you training? Can you pick up people that you have seen? See, if this is not going on, let me tell you what you are going to do. Of course, not in Saints Community Church. What people do is that when this is not going on, you now start seeing all sorts of different expressions of the ministry. They will now be bringing business leaders, political leaders. Somebody's talking about fashion. You know the reason? They are not training anyone to do what they are doing. They now bring people who have no idea of what they do on the pulpit. I told someone once, I said, we have people in our church that can do exactly what you are trying to do. Far better. Professionals. Well recognized. But this is not their office. This is not their office. They do that in their office. Hallelujah. Are you still there? So whenever that doesn't happen, they'll be looking for people. Executives. Upwardly mobile. No. Jethro didn't say go and look for. He said number one, train. It's when you train that you now see. You can't see what you have not trained. So I'm going to ask you, who are you planning in your church, in your fellowship, to oversee other people? Who is the person? Who? Do you have their names? I'll give you 2 minutes. This is not for me, this is for you. Write out names that you know. They are not here. Don't come and write my name. That you are looking at as you are training them. That they will be elders of the people. Write the name. That is your scorecard. Is your scorecard. Who? Because when leaders are not being trained, the church can never grow. If the church grows without leaders, that growth is dangerous. I'm talking about spiritual leaders. So look at what you have written down. Whatever you have written down is what you have been doing. If you still have a lot of people that you are practically dragging them to church, all the members of your fellowship, you have to call them on Saturday. See them before you begin up the service. That is a weak leadership. That's a weak leadership. By now, if you are 20 there should be at least three people who are doing what you are doing. Three who are doing. If you are 20, now multiply that into 40, then 60, then 100. That's what you are doing. That's your work. Who are the people you are shining the light, showing them how to go and the work they must do? Who? Hallelujah. That's what I told you. When ministers, I recently had the privilege to be around some very great Bible scholars, leaders in the body of Christ, and you know, all of that. And they observed something that came out of them. I'm going to talk about it later. Came out of the e-church narrative. I'll be sharing it gradually because it was a very private meeting. It's a dangerous trend. So I have to say, I said in service today, I said, nobody attends church online. What you did was that you watched a church online. You were not in the service. You only watched a service. You were not in the service. Know the difference. That's why I took time in this last series to explain the importance of physical touches. You only watched the service. You were not in the service. Now guys, you know, when we have to travel and go to places to have meetings, you know, people often tell us that this is different from Living Word Media. This is different from watching you on TV. Because it is different. And I'm going to tell you that at the end of this series. You have to, when you recognize what is on your life, you will not use phone call to disciple people. You will realize that you have to physically train people. Because there's something on your life. So the grace of God is on my life. You have to realize that. Now, he said, you are going to teach them, train them. Then you will now look around. You will look around. He said, you will look around, you look at the men that fear God. Able men, men of truth, any confession, that will now be rulers. The first thing is not to look for them. What's the first thing? Teach, train, show them the work they must do. And the way they must go. Don't skip the first thing. The first thing is in 20, not 21. Train. Teach. Who is this person? These elders in Numbers 27. When Joshua was taken or chosen. I told you this today. Don't forget. God has said, Moses have rejected you. You are not going to lead them to the promised land. He said that. You know what? When he was going to pick a replacement, who laid hands on the replacement? Moses. When God talks to his men, don't put your mouth. Don't do it all. Joshua, not one day, did he tell us the error of Moses? And no writer in the Bible spoke about it. They are not stupid. They read chapter 12. Aaron and Miriam. Nobody knows whether Moses was right or wrong. Me, I don't know. God, you know, I don't know. I don't know. That's it. Nobody did. So he chose Joshua. Why? Look at 17. Who may go up before them? Which may go in before them? Which may lead them out? Which may bring them in? Notice it. He takes them out. Brings them in. He's with them all the time. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Follow this please. Why was Joshua chosen? Joshua was chosen Because he was a servant of Moses. Exodus 17 verse 9. Exodus 24 and verse 13. Look at what he's called. Moses rose up and his minister Joshua. Listen to this. And look up all of you. I'm talking to you, says Community Church. Yes. Because you may think I'm talking about somebody else. No, it's you. Why was Joshua chosen? He was with Moses all the time. That's all. All the time. There is no training in absentia. He was with him all the time. When Moses went up, he went with him. When he came down, they came down. He was with him all the time. He observed, he learned, things rubbed off on him. That was why he was chosen. What it means for you and I, the men and women you are training, you must be with them all the time. They must be around you all the time. The moment somebody begins to give excuses, I know this one as a personal, it is in God's word, but I know it. 1, 2, 3. Red lights. It's a red flag. It's a red flag. It's a red flag. And one can take a decision, for example, to go far from where you are without both of you talking about it. It's a red flag. It's a red flag. A big one. Joshua was chosen because he was with Moses all of the time. All of the time. Watch this again. Watch this. Look at Exodus 33 verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend, and he turned again into the camp. But his servant, Joshua, the son of Nun, Exodus 33:11. Watch this. A young man departed not out of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. That's it. That's it. He didn't leave. That is absolute loyalty. He's there all the time. Does that bring something to your memory? Acts 1, when they were going to choose someone who was going to... Now, listen to me. Look up, guys. Let me say something again. Look, this is important. Did Joshua ever know he was going to succeed Moses? No. He didn't know. Did Matthias ever know he was going to succeed Judas? No. They didn't know. They didn't know. They weren't doing it to succeed. They weren't doing it so that they can be put in leadership. They were doing it because they were serving God. He was there all the time. In all the meetings. In all the meetings, he was there. Hallelujah. Red flag. You started missing service. I told someone, when we were in this place, I don't want to use numbers. You were always around. What happened? I said, sir, I said, no. That's not the problem. The moment you start to look for excuses, you are in trouble. You are looking for an excuse. Don't look for an excuse. I said, repent. Don't look for an excuse. Repent. You gave a prophecy about this. You gave a prophecy about that. The prophecy has been fulfilled and more will be fulfilled. And here you are. Abba. Any friend who tolerates you is a bad friend. He's a bad friend. I learned a lesson in secondary school. I will never forget. There was a senior of us, Sokwe Adinle. Sokwe Adinle was, I met him when I got to Form 1. He was part of the fellowship people, but somehow he backslid. So we were they call us Bread. No, that's not the name. I think Bread or something, yeah. So there was a day fellowship was going on. I must have told you this story before. Me and these guys, we just didn't go for fellowship that day. we were out in the hostel. Say, oh no, you can't come here. Are you not born again? I said, yes. He called me and said, Otoloi, are you not born again? I said, well, I'm born again, sir. I didn't know what I was going to do. He said, why are you not in the fellowship? Ah. It's not a school activity, yo. We said, we're not. You're not going for you want to backslide? Are you not supposed to be an example for the unbelievers? This is not. He's a bad guy, yo. He brought out Cain. Now I believe that God used him that day. I'm not joking. He said, are you not supposed to? He said, we are. And you are missing fellowship. What if the rapture should happen? We said, well, we didn't want to miss our, no! He said, you should serve God with all your heart. He brought out Pankere. Hey! 6-6! He said, go and take your Bible! It is not a school activity, oh! And we began to run down to the hall. And we ran into the fellowship. We are gathering to. But you know, years later I thought about it. I did. I said, why were we not in the fellowship? Now, by the time I was saying this, I'm not talking about 10 years after. I'm talking about many years. I said, ah, but really, what he said was true. Why were we not there? Why? Said then we didn't want to miss. And what is Friday meal for Christ? Amala. And I never used to eat it. Oh, I don't look for excuses. I said, you know, because usually I'll leave the school and go and eat at Dele Abadele. Bam. One of my names was Dele Boy. Was behind. Jollof rice. I would jollof rice in the morning, in the afternoon. In the boarding house that I used to eat just on Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Friday. Sunday morning is bread and egg. It used to be bread and egg. Afternoon is rice. Friday evening is rice and beans. Then all the rice meals, I don't miss them. Then I think I used to, that's all. Every other meal. Just the rice meals. From boarding house. One guy said, one day, he said, you just see chicken on your head. Eating greens. Because in the boarding house. You know, he was always there. Joshua was always there. Mark 3:14. Jesus chose the 12 that they might be with him. Are you listening to me here? Hallelujah. Say presence, sir. Say presence, sir. Say love the presence, sir. That should be your testimony. Camp meeting, presence. Prayer meeting, presence. Are you there? Workers meeting, presence. Evangelism, presence. Must be presence. That's the life of a Christian soldier. And the same thing. When you have people. There's someone like a friend of mine said, the guy has so much, the guy loves the word, he follows you, Pastor Chris, but he's not always around. It's his job. When it was done, I said, I know you are thinking of making him a fellowship coordinator. He said, yes, because he has this passion. I said, what you will see there, God will make you see it. I think the brother practically mishandled the whole fellowship. He didn't have time. He would rush into the fellowship. Somebody is always starting for him. Please be leading the prayer. I will join you. I join you. Be leading the prayer. And the guy leading the prayer has led prayer, led prayer. He's looking out. We are praying. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sit down for us. We'll pray later. He's tired. Yeah, I can't make it. Just share something. The guy just giving advice. You know, you, why not buckle your shoe? You. Why would you take responsibility and not have time? Why did you take it? This job is full time. In and out. In and out. In and out. Hallelujah. And I told you, for every excuse you have, there will be somebody without your advantage who is doing what you are saying you cannot do. So, in your church, who are the people that are always around? Always available for training. Are you available? That's why I've said to you, there is nothing called phone call as follow-up. You do hear me? You do hear me? There's nothing like that. Not in this ministry. Phone call is felicitation. Greetings. Even if you stood, even if you were on the phone for 30 minutes explaining exegetical tools of scripture, that's your business. Have time. Phone call is not discipleship. Create time. I told someone, I said, you have 20 members. You don't have time. You can never grow. God can never give you more people. You have 20 members. During the week, you called all of them. You can't have any additional one. Who's going to give you 21? You don't have 1,000, no? You don't have 2,000. When you are behaving like that with 50, you can't have 60. See, God rewards faithfulness. God can, sorry, let me put it properly. God only gives responsibility to responsible people. 20! How would you, see, if you have 20 members, every week you see all the 20. Every week. Every week. I saw someone now, one of you, and I lectured the person how to do it. And he did it. Remember when we're in Zambia, I said, 1 hour, I'm going to reach this number of people. 1 hour. I said, just give me 1 hour. 1 hour. It's a training. It's a training. Say 1 hour, just watch. It's not, let me just, no. It's not being led, though. 1 hour. Because that hour was raised. Because we're told you don't have time. Hallelujah. And I told them that day when, and so I said, we're going to practice what we are preaching now. You were all there. And we did. Now. And we all went out. They were shocked. Said it's a training. In a week, 20 members, you are struggling to see them. And you are saying we covered the earth. You are not even covered. You. 20! You should have seen all of them during the week. I'm saying you spend time teaching each person. 20. If you look at me everywhere, look up. If you spend 40 minutes, calculate it. If you spend 1 hour, which one? It's 20 hours. Remove 20 hours from 168 hours. You have 148 hours left in 7 days. Calculate it. Calculate it. 20. And you are praying for God to commit 100 to your hand. How? How? Except you go and steal them. Except you go and lie to them. Because you are not even spending time. Pastor, it's the nature of my job. Face your job. Leave this one. This one is for those who will do their job and do this job. And be excellent in the two. Hear what I said. They will do their job. They will do this one. And they will do both together. And be excellent at it. Do you know what I'm saying? You are there. So some of the challenges that some of us face. And I'm saying this to you because you are in the ministry. It's lack of focus. See, stop writing. I learned it from Bishop Oyedepo years ago. There are some things, simple instructions. They will stay with you. Try and look up and down at the same time. Is it possible? Is it possible? That means only one thing can be your primary focus per time. Only one thing. This is the warning I give some of my Christocentric brethren. I say, hey, this one that you are always about people's churches. You will struggle for the rest of your life. You will struggle. One said, he said, but Rabbi is saying we should not do this. But Rabbi writes on social media. I said, me. Say, Rabbi is not. I said, okay. Don't worry. Be behaving like Rabbi. You understand what I'm saying? You know, it's stupid. I'm not you. I'm the one that should caution you. I said, what are you talking about here? And some of them, they don't study, they don't pray. It's obvious. Because I know, to maintain social media, and be praying, and do other things, if I'm one of my business partners, not business partner, but a business person, he's very popular too, he called me and said, Pastor Chris, how do you do this? I said, no, I don't know. I just do it. I said, everything that has to be done, I ensure it is done. That's all. So what I can say is the grace of God. Can get back on here. Thank you. Move this part. Just for you. Focus. Be focused. Bishop Oyedepo, you see this one. I don't like the quote. He says, when you keep your focus, you become other people's focus. And it's the truth. Jesus' one of the greatest things he did in the four Gospels was to keep his focus. You will find distractions here. Family will come. You know, his family will come at some point. You've not even seen you at home. His brothers and sisters were making fun of him. His family men. Everything was just right center. His disciples were distracting him. But he was focused. The power of focus. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4. Are you learning something? Begin to write down your plans now. To see your members during the week. Are you following what I'm saying? To sit down with them and teach them the word of God. Not to just be sharing pastor's teaching. Mm-mm. You are not a sharer of teachings. You are a teacher. Spend time. Don't be showing them just video. You should be the video. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I've never been called to raise fans. Never in my life will I raise fans. Those who are celebrating, I celebrate you, sir. Wow. Oh my God. Oh. No. May that never be my lot in life. It's to raise people. Is that clear? 1 Peter 4. And I'm speaking this to you directly. Peter says, in verse 14, he says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. Now, people say, yeah, they are oppressing me. They are persecuting us. What churches? Sometimes it's not persecution. Read what he says. Can we take 15 together? But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. As a busybody. The Greek word of that word, busybody, in other men's matters, interestingly, is one Greek word. I don't know how King James broke it down into details. It is the word, I'll spell it, Alorio Piscopos. Alorioe. Piscopos. Alorioepiscopos. It's from two words. Watch this very well. Allotrios. A-L-L-O-T-R-I-O-S. It's only used once and it's here. A-L-L-O-T-R-I-O-S. It means belonging to another matter. Something foreign to you. Something not under your care. Watch this. And the word episkopos. It means, look at me. You are overseeing another person's work. You are overseeing another church. You are busy about people's Facebook life. It says, busy if you are suffering because you are putting, you are overseeing someone else's church. Said, this is not for Christ. It's not for Christ. And notice, I like the way Strong Exhaustive Concordance says, when you begin to oversee something that is alien to your calling, it's not your calling. They are in your office discussing a church. You say, which church is that? That says community. You say, no. So I say, come now, you're not a Christian. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, let me suffer as a Christian. Hallelujah. Someone in church said, Pastor, this happened in that church. I said, which church? Is that your church? He said, no. I said, where are your disciples? And I've been trying to, you will always be trying. Trial will not leave your life. Because you are busy with another person's work. Overseeing someone else's church. You know how they sing. You know what they taught on Sunday. You know what they taught. I get to see things from churches. But it's passingly. I don't go on people to go and deliberately go and watch so that I can have something to criticize. If I have too much, I don't have time. Hey, if you know what I do every day, I don't have time at all for such nonsense. Even amongst yourselves. You should know your own members. Is that clear? Somebody from Igondo sends you a text. And you're in Yaba. He says, you know, Yaba to Igondo is 3 buses. You have skipped 3 buses before you got to me. In fact, between Igondo and here, you still have K2 church. Right? Why not branch there? This is too far. That's overseeing your own matter. Are you following what I'm saying? Be focused. That's why the next chapter, look at what Peter said. 1 Peter 5:1. The elders which are among you, I exhort. Now look at verse 2. Feed the flock of God all over the world. Eh? All over the world. Nope. That is among you. The same thing, 1 Thessalonians 5:12 and 13. Among you. Acts 6, when they're going to choose people, look for among you. Don't go and hire pastors. Amen? Among you. Among you, poimano. Among you. So, your job is to focus on your flock and those who are raising. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Look up. If you look closely at your flock, you see you have more problems than those you are criticizing. If you look closely, if you are focused on your flock, you are doing an episkopos. Now the word episkopos, where we have bishop, that word is from the word episkopio. E-P-I-S-K-O-P-E-O. It means to look diligently. You are looking at it well. Which means, man, you are more focused about your members. Hey, see how he's praying. He wasn't praying like this last week. What happened? Why has he suddenly changed his dress pattern? What happened? That is your own job. Not say, hey, things are happening in the body of Christ. So, are you the Christ of the body? Things are happening. No! It is your church that is your concern. Episcopals look diligently at the flock under you. Are you training them? Now that word look diligently, from the word scopio, S-K-O-P-E-O. Watch this very well. In Luke 11:35, it means take heed. In Romans 16:17, it means to mark. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it means to look diligently. In Galatians 6:1, it means to consider. In Philippians 2:4, it means to look. Philippians 3:17, it means to observe. So your job over God's flock is to look at them diligently. That's your job. You must be a keen observer. By the Spirit of God, you are watching over God's flock diligently. Look at the word diligently. Not casually. Not just making sure they attend the church. That's all. Attend the service. Oh, thank God we fill the auditorium. No! Look at it closely. How is the prayer life like? How is their life like? So Peter rolls out 1 Peter 5. He said, number one, you are taking oversight. Episcopals. Not by constraint. So, draw, what do you call it now? A table. Not by constraint. Not by compulsion. Is that clear? You can't do this job by force. You will force yourself out of it. It's not by compulsion. He says, but willingly. 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 That's the first thing. Not by compulsion. Willingly. Number two. Not for filthy lucre. Not for gain. The Greek word here, aiskrokardes, A-I-S-C-H-R-O-K-E-R-D-E-S. Excuse me. Means eager for gain. Eager for gain. Eager to get something. You know, some people are very zealous when they know, something will come out of it. Eager for gain. Not for filthy lucre. Not to say, you people have not been giving me five alive when I preach this preaching. You are not giving me water. You didn't even care. How am I doing my laundry? Cell leader. Eh? You are already taking water. Anything, what are you giving me now? After I taught you, that pastor said that when either waters, should be water. I told you, for years, I never took honorariums. Even now, many times when the ministry gives to me, I look at how I'm going to give back. In multiple ways. That's how I was trained. We're not in this for gain. Not to get position. I've had opportunities. Recently, just last week, I was given a very wonderful offer. That if I put it on social media, hey! It was a, hey! This man has arrived. I turned it down without hearing the full sentence. Because, listen to me. When you are young, and you act like you are old, you can't live long. Is that clear? I know my age. I know myself. And so I know, not now. Not for gain. He says, but willingly. The word willingly there, prothumos, P-R-O-T-H-U-M-O-S. You see it in Romans 1:15. An eagerness to do the right thing. But gain, you see that word, I sit there with it, 1 Timothy 3:8, Titus 1:7, you want to get something out of it. Gain. on, not compulsion, not for gain. Three, not as lords over God's heritage. Katakurio in the Greek. K-A-T-A-K-U-R-I-E-O. A word you're going to see in Matthew 20, 25, which is exactly what Peter is quoting from. Not like the world. You want to sit in front. You want to have protocol. That's what you are thinking. You want them to say, yeah, come, where's your report? That's what you are looking for. Hey, whoa, where's your report? Why you not give me your report? Where's your report? You know I'm the man of God over your life. You are ending without starting. That's why, recently, I personally started carrying my bag myself. I told myself, I can carry this thing. And I found that I could carry it. And it's not heavy. I've never allowed people to take my Bible to the pulpit for me. Never. So I said, the bag too now. Carry the thing. My bag can be a bit heavy because I put a lot of things inside. I'll carry it myself. But that's lost over God's heritage. You say, yeah. Okay. I'm the pastor here. Abba. No? See, I'm not Lord over God's people. He said, rather as an example to us, because you are an under shepherd. Larry told me this years ago, Larry Musa, my friend. He said, we are under shepherds of the chief shepherd. We are only delegated to do what we are doing. Hallelujah. So let's go over it again. Not compulsion, but what? I told the girl, not compulsion, but what? Are you willing? Someone told me, say, you know, Pastor, I just found out that I'm not willing again. OT backslide, simple. Don't say, Pastor, thank you for that word. I've been noticing it. But today is always calling me. The thing is not willing like before. You're going crazy. What I'm saying is this. This is something that you must be willing to always do. The kind of pressures that come with the work of the ministry. You can't do it because of pastor. Because of sister so and so. You can't do it that way. You have to do it willingly. Let me say something to you. Stop writing. I'm going to give you a test. I'm going to run that test. If your pastor, Pastor Jakes, for example, says, every Sunday, submit a report to me. Let me know about your activities. Every Sunday. Then you start to submit it. Then he starts to read it and then responds. Then after a while, he doesn't respond again. Then you stop submitting. You were never willing to do it. Whether he checks it or not, it is for your good that you should continue doing it. Run that test in your life now. Are there things you are only doing because it's being monitored? Whether you are monitored or not, do the right thing. Did you hear what I just said? Run that test. So one, not compulsion, willingly. Two, not for gain. It's not about money alone, no. Is that very clear? Is that very clear? Not for gain. Physical gain. Position. Sexual. Fame. Not for gain. But the eagerness to do the right thing. Not as lords over God's people. But examples. Say, I'm an example. Say, I'm an example. Raise your voice. Say, I'm an example. An example. Different from being lords. So who is the pastor? The one who visits the flock. Episcopio. He visits. Acts 20:20. Paul says house to house. And publicly. House to house. Publicly. Do you visit? Do you teach? Do you sit down? I began the work of the ministry. Sitting down with people two, threes. Teaching them the word of God. Sometimes one. Do you visit people? Do you see people? So I told you this. Those of you who have grown up with telephones, everything, text. See people. You are their pastor. Is that very clear? You are not a line manager. You're a pastor. You check on people. You sit down with them. You teach them the word of God. So I'm going to just run through something quickly. I've gone way beyond my time. Look at a pastor as a farmer. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3 says, I planted. 1 Corinthians 3. Verse 6. Apollo watered. So he treats the church as a garden, a farm. In verse 9. So we can look at the principle. To plant and to water. Some of us know how to plant, but we forget that it has to be watered. What with the plant? You can teach. You can give out the word. You can quickly get people to come for your meeting. But you have to water it. So this evening we're going to look at the two. Are you here? You sow seeds. And you must also water it for it to grow. So I put it here. I said, sowing seeds is with prayer, the word, the ministry of the Spirit. That's sowing seeds. You teach. You give the word. Right? Are you there? But listen to this. Before I get there, Jesus was praying. And that's the challenge of some of us. We can pray. I told someone one day, I said, you spend overnight praying. Vigil, 2 times, 3 times every week. Then during the day, you undo what you are praying about. After praying, you have to go and act on your prayer. Jesus said, Matthew said, they are like sheep without shepherd. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest. Jesus said, to send forth laborers. Said, the laborers are few, the harvest is plenteous. You know, Jesus did not start praying immediately. What did he do? He sent forth people. You have to act on your prayer. You are praying, oh God, that your light will cover this place. Oh God, and a lot of people do that. Our word people, hey, they can pray, oh God, we prophesy for the Spirit of God. Let's go on evangelism. We can do it by Facebook. So if we are praying, let's act on it. When you finish your vigil, wake up, okay? And go and do what you prayed about. When you finish your vigil. So I said, the seeds, prayer, the word, the ministry of the Spirit, what is watering? Time, resources, efforts. Time, resources, effort. Do you spend your money? Do you spend your time? Effort. How many of you know what effort is? Effort. Effort is to put energy to something. If they ask you to eat, except you are sick, you don't eat with effort. But if they ask you to cook, that's effort. Right? Not for you. You can cook human beings. They ask you to do, it's effort. They ask some of you to come and do exercise. Ha. They say, run up and down there. Say, I should run. Does it matter how I get there? Effort. How do you water? You water with time, resources, effort. If you put seed in the ground, you have talked the word, you've done all that. Where are the efforts after? Where is the time? Where are the resources? So if you plant, there may not be an Apollos to water. Be the Paul and the Apollos. So let's look at this now. Let's be practical. Because this work is not grammar. Did you hear me? Look up now. Those who don't know half of what you are hearing, they are doing it. Because if you have knowledge without practice, you have not done a tenth of someone without knowledge but has a practice. They say oftentimes. They say 1 million intentions does not measure up to one deed. 1 million intentions. So, let's look at your schedule for your church every week. Write it down. Are you there? I will teach, I will minister, I will pray. I will teach, so you put down their names, Shegun, Larry, Tunde, Ayo. I will teach, minister, pray. That's the first set. I will take Larry, Shegun, Tunde, Ayo on evangelism. Two. Three. I will minister to their needs. Larry, Tunde, Ayo, Shegun. That depends now. That could be material. It may just be attention. But you are ministering to the need. The needs I'm referring to here are natural needs. So I teach the first group, teach, minister, pray. Second group, I take you on practical ministry. The third thing, I look at your needs. The fourth one, this is very vital. What am I praying about? If I don't have, if you have people in your church or your fellowship, and you have 20 or 50, and you don't have certain people that you are praying specifically over, you're not doing anything. What am I praying for this person for? What am I expecting from him or from her? What am I expecting? And I'm praying about. Add this one now. What am I sharing with pastor? Now, you have a pastor over you. I come and say, Pastor Shem, I want you to pray with me about so and so person. That shows you are pastoring. It shows you are pastoring. So I just want us to just pray. I tell your pastor sometimes when they have their prayer meetings, what are your needs? Share it. So you can pray together. Pastoring and problems are a side of a coin each. Problems will never leave. Never finish. What are you praying about? That's number one. Number what now? Is that four or five? Five. Are you buying books for anybody this week, this month? Bibles? That's pastoring. Are you buying books? Are you buying Bibles? When you're a pastor, you don't buy books for yourself alone. As you are budgeting your books, you are budgeting, even if you cannot buy the Principality and Power books, you can buy the demons, the small, small ones, the small, small spirits. What about study group? Are you paying attention to how these folks are doing in their study group? This is what pastoring is. What about the health? Are you checking up on people's health? How they are doing? If they are students, they are academics. Are they still going to work? Are they resuming at work on time? Are they effective at work? Someone say, Pastor, this is like being a person's father. That's exactly who you are. It's not to just get them together and go give them deep insight into the word. The health to visit pastoring is a full-time work. And you train men continually. So write that list out. I'm going to go over it again. Who are you teaching, ministering to this week and praying with? That's the first one. Who are you taking out on evangelism this week? Which needs are you meeting natural needs this week? Who are you praying particularly for this week? Who are you asking your pastor to pray with you with? To pray with you over, sorry. Who are you buying Bibles for this week? Or books? Who is having challenges in a study group or a study group that you're helping out? Who is ill and sick? Check all of Paul's epistles. Is attending to people's health. Even to Timothy. Trophimus, Epaphroditus is attending to their health. Who are you visiting? And what are you expecting? One, consistency in meetings, in your meetings. Two, consistency in the general church meetings. Three, consistency in prayer. Four, consistency in giving. Five, write this down. Consistency in making proper godly decisions. Proper godly decisions. Six, in raising responsible people. 2 Thessalonians 3, he that does not walk, Paul says, must not eat. Responsible people. Both in the church, Romans 13, 1 to 7, and also in the society. I'll take it again. Consistency in meetings. Your meetings. Consistency in the general church meetings. Consistency in prayer. Consistency in giving and being sacrificial to others. Consistency in taking and making proper decisions. Also, a responsible fellow in the church. Are you taking care of people to ensure that they have work that they do? If they are students, that they are responsible in their schools. It's your job. It's your job. When your pastors were in school, we've known each other for years. I asked them for their GP. Sit down and talk about each course. Those of them who had challenges. It's your job. Don't say, my own is just to minister the Spirit. The Spirit will run. It's your job. Responsible fellows. There's some of you ask them the question, how about your what's going on? Your skills. You can take another course. What are you doing? You're making the person responsible. What have you done about your chartered accountancy degree? Or your professional qualification. You can add this to it as well. Go look for it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, he says, if you have the chance, use it. It's your job. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. That's your job. The job is to teach, pray, minister. That's the seed. Then, how do you water? Effort, resources and time. It's not either or. It's both of them. This and that. You'll find people that don't teach intensely like you do. But they oversee more intensely. So you wonder why people are so committed to them. They'll be committed because they see them. They hear from them. So if you are going to have the seed grow, you must water it. Let me see how you're following this. So put those things down, they're practical. And it will never change. Glory to God. Hallelujah.